Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1987 with a release date of Friday, November 27, 2015. The follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The FCC announces even more changes for its online visitors. A New Jersey grand jury indicts a 25-year-old suspect in the killing of an elderly ham. A nationwide club unites youthful radio amateurs in the UK. And right after Thanksgiving, watch for Santa Claus coming to a band near you. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1987 coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from South Mississippi, here's Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
We begin this week's newscast with an announcement from an optimistic Federal Communications Commission as it emerges from embarrassing and inconvenient glitches in its electronic batch filing system. Now that things are getting back to normal there, the FCC is launching its overhauled agency website. Amateur Radio Newsline's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, has the details.
As the FCC and hams around the country recuperate from the on-again, off-again outage that left the FCC with a backlog of license applications and exam sessions, the agency has announced yet more changes coming online. A newly revamped website that is making its debut on December 10th through a four-hour transition that will begin at 0100 UTC. The agency said in a public notice released Tuesday, November 24th, that the changes were based on information gathered from user feedback over time, and the new website should provide, quote, better functionality and improved design and better searchability and navigability, end quote. The commission's IT department had run the site in a beta test version earlier this year to collect input from visitors before the official launch. The new site is also optimized for use on tablets, smartphones, and other mobile devices and offers different browsing options. The FCC says, worry not, because while the current agency website will no longer be available after December 10th, files and web pages on transition.fcc.gov will still be accessible until they too are migrated to the new site. The commission has already upgraded its consumer help center and other interactive areas and says it has been working toward fine-tuning those areas as well. So, stay tuned. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH in Topeka, Kansas.
Thank you, Skeeter. Out of New Jersey comes an update on the tragic killing of an elderly amateur radio operator earlier this year. A grand jury in Essex County has indicted the suspect, 25-year-old Ray Cooley of Nutley, New Jersey, on charges of murder, robbery, and other offenses related to the death of William Fitzsimmons this past spring. Fitzsimmons, who was 85 years old and lived alone, was found badly beaten and bloodied outside his Belleville, New Jersey house the day after a May 16 home invasion and assault. He died of his injuries about 2 weeks later in a Newark hospital. Police arrested Cooley, then upgraded the charges after Fitzsimmons' death. Cooley was indicted November 13th. Fitzsimmons, whose call sign was N2LMU, was a retired captain with the Army National Guard and a member of the Roseland Amateur Radio Club, the Military Auxiliary Radio System, and the American Legion. Published news reports said that because he was by himself, he would often leave one of his doors open to enable neighbors to check on him. Cooley's arraignment is set for December 14th. They call themselves the Young Hamsters, but this busy, friendly group of radio amateurs in Great Britain has nothing to do with pet rodents. Instead, this growing collective has a pet project to provide a resource that caters specifically to hams under the age of 30 throughout the UK. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has the story.
Although they believe conventional radio clubs to be fine for most amateurs, Mark M0NCG and Adam MM0KFX wanted something more for the radio operator under the age of 30. That's how Young Hamsters was born. They believe that just as the popular Youngsters on the Air program attracts youthful hams worldwide and in Europe, something specific to the UK could be a great success. In a recent email to Amateur Radio Newsline, Mark described the group's mission. He said, "We have a focus on operating on the air, be it by promoting contesting and de-expeditions or just by being active on the bands." Because members are scattered across the UK, the group makes use of Facebook, Twitter and WhatsApp accounts to allow everyone to express their opinion on issues and to build community. The sites are also a resource for announcing the Young Hamsters' plans. Mark added, "Not only do we hope to promote contesting and de-expeditioning, we actually hope to run de-expeditions and work together in contests to build a name for ourselves as the future of our hobby." Mark also wrote that the club fulfills some of the social needs that young operators have. He said, "We decided to set up Young Hamsters instead of incorporating into an existing club, as we feel the people best placed to showcase our hobby and retain the interest of young people in our hobby are young people themselves. It can seem quite lonely at times, especially in the UK, with so few radio amateurs, young radio amateurs, and by bringing as many of us together, we can share our common interests and really help to further our hobby via innovative ideas and social working. Well, membership is free and the club sign is M0 Yankee Hotel Charlie, so be listening. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, reporting from Nottingham in the UK.
You can find the Young Hamsters on Twitter with the handle Young Hamsters, one word, or on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Young Hamsters. You can also email the organizers, younghamsters@gmail.com. According to the calendar, we're heading into December, but to European radio amateurs in their early 20s or even younger, the next 31 days that lie ahead are really known as Yoda Month. December is being set aside for the program Youngsters on the Air, a large group of youthful hams from Region 1 of the International Amateur Radio Union who support one another's projects and engage in QSOs with one another and around the world. Throughout December, YOTA members will be active on the bands using YOTA as the suffix in their call sign. Young South African hams participating will be using the call sign ZS9YOTA, and in the UK, the special call sign G15YOTA will be on the air for 22 days during December, many from school amateur radio clubs and some from the RAF Air Cadets. Proponents of the event remind amateurs around the world that in many cases, a YOTA operator might be having his or her first experience on radio when giving a call. So try to make that QSO happen, and let's make it friendly. Speaking of youngsters on the air, a good many of them are already looking toward the summer when YOTA 2016 gathers in the Austrian Alps as guests of the Austrian Amateur Radio Society, OEVSV. The Austrian group is marking its 90th anniversary. Applications are now being accepted for the event, and the deadline is coming up fast, December 31st. The program, set for July 16th through 23rd, will accept 75 youngsters. You may email any questions to austria@ham-yota.com. Time now for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including WB5ITT, the Triangle Repeater Association in Beaumont, Port Arthur, and Orange, Texas, on Monday nights. When it comes to telling stories about radio that were once designed to engage and inspire kids, Mike Adams wrote the book. In fact, his book is called The Radio Boys and Girls, Radio, Telegraph, Telephone, and Wireless Adventures for Juvenile Readers, 1890 to 1945. Amateur Radio Newsline's Christian Kudnick, K0STH, spoke to Adams recently.
When Mike Adams set out to explore the genre of young adult literature from the 20th century, he was revisiting the same wireless and radio-themed fiction that inspired him to become a broadcaster and a tech hobbyist.
I started with a technical emphasis. I wanted to look at these stories to see if some of the technology described was actually accurate, because it was a lot. There were some hobby stories. There were some stories that looked at a career in radio, or especially a wireless operator on shipboard, or somebody working at a radio station. And so I looked at the technology, and at first, and there wasn't a lot there. I mean, most of these boys did not progress beyond a spark gap transmitter or a simple crystal set in their hobbies.
So Adams decided to organize the text in four sections: wireless electricity, wireless ship to shore, two-way voice, and broadcasting. In doing so, the focus changed.
I just looked at what these kids were doing and what they learned, and I realized that they were learning things that we talk about today. There was a lot of immigration and xenophobia discussion. There was gun violence. There was even a story where the boys had guns on campus. There was a lot of racial issues, and there was bullying, and there was economic inequality at the turn of the 20th century.
Radio Boys and Girls analyzes a collection of over 50 stories. As a professor, Adams examines the values of science, social science, and arts and humanities.
And you know, I think these books are just one small part of it. It's our connection with the past. You know, what did people our age when we were young people. What did we read and what influenced us? And obviously, kids back then were influenced by their community, their school, their parents, and their churches. And there really wasn't a lot of outside interference in the sense now that nothing is local anymore. Everything is national, you know, so with the internet and with streaming and all that.
The big question remains, can today's technological advancements help move along these century-old social struggles?
Some people have thought that social media was going to be important to that, like the Facebooks and those sorts of things, because it did bring people together in a way that people who read these books and got together and built radios as a group did. But then again, you remember when the internet first became popular 20 or 30 or so years ago, everybody said, well, now it's equal. Now everybody can be a publisher and everybody can have their voice heard. And while I suppose true in a way, it really hasn't happened that way. It's still the big companies still own the means of information.
You can learn more about this book at radioboysandgirls.org. I'm Christian Kudnick, K0STH for Amateur Radio Newsline.
AmSat North America is now the proud owner of its first CubeSat. The Fox 1A satellite, AO85, has joined AmSat operations after being formally commissioned and determined to be ready to go. AmSat will now be responsible for its scheduling and modes. AmSat Vice President for Engineering, Jerry Buxton, N0JY, said in a statement, quote, many new techniques are incorporated and lessons will be learned, as with any new product. We'll incorporate changes from what we learn in each launch to the extent possible in subsequent Fox One CubeSats. To our members, we want to say that the Fox team is very proud and pleased that our first CubeSat is very successful and hopefully will be for some time. 60 meters became a new reality at the World Radio Communication Conference in Geneva, which agreed on November 18th on a secondary allocation of the band for the amateur service, setting regional power limits of 15 watts to 25 watts measured in effective isotropic radiated power. The allocation was a hard-won accomplishment following years of preparation by the International Amateur Radio Union. The last step is the signing of the final act at the conference's November 27th closing and is considered a formality. Time to check DX. Mats, who holds the call signs SM6LRR and RM2D, is operating holiday style in Vietnam as XV2D until December 6th, and he's participating as well in the CQ Worldwide CW contest the weekend of November 28th and 29th. Logs will be uploaded to Logbook of the World. Marco, N5ZO, is operating in Mozambique until December 1st and will also enter the CQ Worldwide CW contest using the call sign C92ZO. Before then, find him on 30, 17, and 12 meters. QSLs can be sent to Logbook of the World or directly to OH0XX. Donald, KD4UDU, will be working until December 17th as EL2DW from Monrovia, Liberia. Look for him on 20, 15, and 10 meters on SSB. Send QSLs to his home call. And finally, Nick, G3RWF, is working from Rwanda until December 2nd as 9X0NH and can be found on all bands from 80 to 10 meters. Logs will be uploaded to Logbook of the World and QSL should be sent to his home call sign. And we conclude this week's report with a Christmas story that begins, as all good Christmas stories must, with the wish of a child. What started as a staged report from Santa's sleigh during an amateur radio net on 80 meters 9 years ago has grown and grown and grown. More from Amateur Radio Newsline's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
If you take an 80-meter rag-chew net, add a bit of holiday cheer, and Pete Thompson, KE5GGY, explains what comes next.
It really goes back to a year where I had a young child at home. I was checked into one of the 3916 nets on Christmas Eve. A number of us with young kids were looking for a way that the kids could talk to Santa. So we kind of pieced together something for a couple of us that one night, and it worked really well. I could be a Santa net relay for a station in Kansas City, and then he could facilitate the contact with Santa for me and my son. So we had kind of a very simple and primitive dress rehearsal, and I think it occurred to a number of us in that year, hey, this really is neat, and it's grown from there. I think we had five people at the most that participated the first year, and now in 2015, we're expecting between 250 and 300 kids to talk to Santa.
Thompson says running the net has its rewards.
Connecting kids to Santa Claus at Christmas time just makes their Christmas. We get emails every year from parents and grandparents that say, you know, this was the highlight of our holiday season. This brought our family together. That and the fact that we're using the magic radio to do it makes it very rewarding, on another level, you know, we know that a number of these kids that have been on the SantaNet have gone on to get their ham radio tickets. It's a win-win. Kids get, you know, the spirit of Christmas through connecting with Santa, through the magic of ham radio. They experience this great hobby. It's a great way for us to end the year on the 3916 Nets.
Thompson fired up his ham rig to demonstrate the quality of the Santa connection.
Well, right now, I've got a connection with Santa, so we could close this interview with a couple of comments from Santa. Let me see if I can get him here on my phone patch here in Dallas. Santa, this is KE5BGY from Denton County calling. Santa, could you come on and give a couple of comments to the Amateur Radio Newsline? Calling Santa. Hello there! Merry Christmas to everybody listening to the Amateur Radio Newsline. And I know you've all been very good boys and girls this year, and I just want to invite you to join the hams on 3916 every night at 7:30 for the SantaNet. And yes, I could talk to you, so we'll see you then. And until then, 7:30 from Santa. Ho, ho, ho.
In case you just missed that info, the 80-meter SantaNet meets every night on 3916 kilohertz at 7:30 p.m. U.S. Central Time. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
This year, Thompson will stream the audio for a live feed on the Internet, and it will be archived. So anyone who is on the SantaNet through Christmas Eve will be able to find their contact from a YouTube page. Just do a hashtag and a call sign, and you'll find that particular contact. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, the BBC, CQ Magazine, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, IEEE, the Irish Radio Transmitter Society, NorthJersey.com, KE5GGY Blog, the Ohio Penn Newsletter, Radio Society of Great Britain, the South African Radio League, Southgate Amateur Radio News, the 3916 Nets, Twit TV, Young Hamsters, Youngsters on the Air, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in Picayune, Mississippi, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2015. All rights are reserved.